I don't do that because I think I have a responsibility to be in a position at this church, which that's important. But most importantly, I do that because I want more of God. I want the heart of my Father. I'm excited today. Pastor Brandon, which is my son, if you don't know, has asked me if I would come up and speak. I'm going to speak, and if you got your Bibles and maybe pieces of paper and a pen, you might want to take a couple of notes. Remnant Fit, I want you to throw that up there for me. And it says, spiritual, physical, and mental. And as I was pondering that, I thought about Remnant Fit. And I got done with this sermon, and I kept saying, God, what would you name? If there was a name for this, what would the name be for this sermon? He said, Remnant Fit. But he also said, Remnant Fit, spirit, soul, and body. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. There's an outer court, inner court, and holy of holies. There's a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the three are in one. In this church, we believe the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. We believe that they're three in one. Sometimes if you spend time in prayer, you start discerning the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was left here for us. When Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. That should have been a big old shout right there. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. Because if the Spirit of God ever lifted out of this earth, we would all know it. Sometimes we take that lightly, and sometimes we take the Holy Spirit for granted. Sometimes you feel this tug on your heart to do something that you're supposed to do, and your flesh tries to tell you something opposite. Come on, somebody. And so what we do is sometimes when we feel this tug in our hearts to do something that the Holy Spirit, you know, he's a gentleman, Jay. He's such a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He don't push. I think we've lost gentlemen in this society. I'm not talking about, well, I don't know if I'm talking about some of you or not. But I think that when we have time and we spend time with God, that it starts giving you that discernment of spirit, soul, and body. And he'll tug on your heart about a couple of things that maybe you're supposed to do or maybe you're not supposed to do. You ever felt that tug in your heart that you're not supposed to do something? And you know it. You know it. And you'll say, well, I mean, I can just ask for forgiveness later. Now, come on, let's get real. I can just ask for forgiveness later. He'll do that for me. And then we take for granted the Spirit of God. And if we're sensitive to the Spirit of God, we can be led by the Spirit. And some of you are so desperate for what God wants. But see, this is what was said in prayer. And if you go to a 9 o'clock prayer, God really does some things in there. And we are declaring and decreeing some things in this city. We're declaring and decreeing some things in this church. And we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. If all of a sudden the song comes on when he walks in the room, there's nothing like it. I remember being at a youth convention at the mall in Washington, D.C., and it was called The Call. And they thought that there was going to, this was a youth, and they thought there was going to be like maybe 80,000 that would show up to this. 450,000 youth showed up. And a 13-year-old boy had been fasting for 40 days with juice and water only. Hello. When he got up to pray, a 13-year-old child, when he got up to pray, I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And I was on a team for intercession that day. My son was with me. And when he got up to pray, you saw this wave. There's 450,000 youth crying out to God. I haven't heard a cry for a while. I don't know if God's been hearing a cry for a while. And I saw this wave of kids that started bowing on their knees, and it went from the front all the way to the back. You can't make that up. You can't orchestrate that. But God can. And when that boy walked up to pray for repentance for our country, I never seen anything like it in my life. When the waves of God's presence came over them youth, and every one of them bowed before God. When he walks in a room, there's nothing like it. And I think sometimes our flesh gets in the way of a move of God. Come on. Spiritual, physical, and mental. I think that we need a spiritual awakening. I think we need to be spiritually fit. I think we need to be physically fit. I think we need to be mentally fit. Because if we don't get fit, we're not going to be ready for the move of God. He's getting ready to do something in your lives, in your family, in this city. Oh, see. I think we need to exercise our faith. You want to exercise? Exercise your faith. Not only exercise physically, exercise spiritually. I want to go back real quick on some things that Pastor Brandon and Jen, they spoke last Sunday, and we started the fast, 21-day fast. It was really laid on Pastor Brandon and Jen's heart. I thank God for them. No, I thank God for them. How about being free in a church? How about being led with a shepherd that's really wanting the heart of God? And when he called this 21-day fast, and when he got up here, and I seen him kind of shake a little, that he called this 21-day fast for corporately for the church. You don't do anything corporately unless you do something personal. I can't get up here and speak unless I've come and let God speak. Right here. Because if I just come up here and speak, then I'm just speaking. But if I allowed him to speak in my heart, I can speak to somebody else. If you've allowed God to speak in your heart, then you can speak to somebody else. Amen? So they started on this fast, and, you know, Pastor Jen always gets up in my grill because I wrote down what she started talking about. Because, you know what? Here she's up here doing announcements, but it's on my paper. Hello? Because we are fitly joined together. I hadn't talked to her. But see, when you're led by the Spirit and you talk to God and he talks to you, God can use whatever he needs to do to fulfill his purpose. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. You're not too young. They started on this fast, and it's not too late. And you can jump on board. If you haven't started on it and you feel felt very prompted to do it, do it. And if you finish at the 21 days that we're on, that means you fulfilled. It's a kingdom purpose. He looks at it differently than we look at it. And these are just a couple of the quotes that Pastor Brandon and Jen were saying. How you start is how you're going to reach your goal. Start your course. If you need to start today, start today. If it's a course that you need to start in a different direction of your life, start it today. How you start is how you'll reach your goal. The way you go in will turn the course. That's powerful to me. How you start determines how God moves. This is quotes that I wrote down. And I'm going to tell you something. I went back because I wrote things down. And then I pondered the things that were said. How you start determines how God moves. When you start, your answer is on its way. It's in transit. When you start, your answer is on its way. When Daniel started the fast, the answer was already on its way. Right when he started. Do you know that there's times that there's been prayers. I would walk into a room when I was a little girl, and I would hear my mom crying out in the bedroom, crying out to God. And I could hear her saying, God, touch Dawn Ann. And I'd peek. I'd be leaning against that door, listening to what she was going to say. Little did I know that I'd be standing up in something like this. This is just the beginning, guys. No, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning personally. This is just the beginning corporately. And she'd say, touch Dawn Ann. God, give her the spouse that she's supposed to have and give her what she's supposed to have, God, from your kingdom. She started something. My great-great-grandma Nettie started something. My daddy said, your great-great-grandma Nettie used to pray, and she'd say, God, send revival. God, send a harvest. My great-great-grandma started something, and I'm in the midst of it. I'm in transit with the beginning of something that started. You could be starting something, and something could happen to your children. Something could happen to your marriage. Something could happen to your kids. Something could happen to the people that are laying in dormant places in life. Pastor Brandon said, we're in transit. Daniel was in transit. It's interesting because he started praying and fasting. And little did he know that there was going to be a fire that was going to be turned up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Little did he know that they, because they didn't bow, and the king said, no, everybody's got to bow. They all got to worship me. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'm not bowing. Are we in a society that you're going to say you're not going to bow? Are we in a place? Are you in a place at your school that you're going to say you're not going to bow to all these other things? Little did he know when he started praying and he started fasting, all these other things were going to take place. Do you feel pressured? Do you feel exhausted? Do you know that in the midst of this, and I don't know who's on the fast, I don't know who is or who isn't. I know I am. And I am stepping all the way into it to whatever God wants. And it's so funny because it's not about us. He wants us to be fit for something else. Daniel didn't realize that when he prayed and fasted and went before God, that all these things were going to take place with his friends. And the fire was going to be turned up because they didn't bow. So the king said, throw them in there. Put it 7 times stronger. They weren't even touched. They didn't even smell like smoke. Have you ever been through a fire that you didn't smell like smoke? Hello. You ever been through a trial that you feel like, is this going to be the end of this? Is this going to be the end of me? Am I going to be able to make it? But see, there was an answer on its way. Because right when he started fasting and praying, there was an answer. The angel was already released. Do you know right when you started, the angel was already released, Sharon? The angel was already released. Right when Daniel started, it dispatched angels from heaven. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, that makes me want to shout. I think we've gotten numb to the things of God. I think we've gotten numb to the things that God wants to do in our lives. I think that if we're not careful, we're going to miss it. I think that because my son called this fast, it has shook everything. I opened up my son's refrigerator, and all I saw was lettuce and strawberries, and I never seen so many bananas in all my life. My refrigerator is the same way. And as my husband would say, he goes, I feel like a rabbit. You know something's happening when you got your anniversary and we go out to have two salads for $30. You know he loves me. Don't think he didn't complain. Mm-hmm. Got to deal with that later. I told him when I grabbed the ticket, I said, we'll never do that again. But that was so good. Oh, we kept going back. He said, is it a salad bar that's all you can eat? They just looked at us like we were strange. They said, well, it's Valentine's Day. I mean, you know, we have this kind of, we got steaks. We go, oh, no, we want the salad bar. But you know what? All I know, it is worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Whatever God's going to do, it's worth it. If he wants to stretch you, it's worth it. If you're stretching in your exercise, that next day, I was okay, but the day after, dear Jesus in heaven, when I got up out of bed. But see, he wants us to get fit for a purpose. He wants us to get fit for a purpose. Fasting is a voluntarily stepping into course. It's voluntarily stepping into a course set before us, such as this 21-day fast. It's voluntarily stepping in. Stepping into this course and stepping away from the things that cause your flesh to scream. Hello? You've been screaming all week? That's quiet. It causes you to step away for the spiritual purposes of God. It's going to cause you to step away because of the spiritual purposes of God. You ever stepped away from somebody that's just causing you havoc? You ever stepped away from somebody that just is lying and cheating and you know, man, I'm not in the right place? And you step away from that? I'm going to tell on you for a minute. Yeah. When my son, he came home one time and for a few days he started acting really different. Don't go there, Joshua. Anyway. But he started acting really different. He started being very disrespectful. And ooh, I could have knocked him out. I don't know about y'all and I don't care, but I believe in getting their butts tied to him. I got my butt whipped. I'm telling you. I didn't die. Anyway. But I started seeing him acting really different. And I thought, something's not right. And he started sneaking. He started getting sneaky. And I told Pop, I think that he's hanging with the wrong people. I said, something is changing in our son. And about 3 days later, there was about six boys that came to the front of the door and knocked on the door, cocky. And they said, we want your son to come out and hang with us. And I said, he ain't hanging with you no more. And they said, what? I said, no, he's not hanging. Of course, you know, Brand's going, Mom, let me out. It's all right. And I thought, no, I'm not. I'm going to stand for a purpose. And I scooted him back. You know what? Yes, he has a choice, but you know what? Sometimes as a mom, you got to hold on and you got to stand for a purpose. And if they're grown up, you still stand, Jackie. You still stand for a purpose for them. That's the power of prayer. You stand for a purpose. So this voluntary fast is for a purpose. This might be a purpose physically for you, spiritually for you, mentally for you. Isn't it funny when you first start a fast and everything looks good? That first day, everything looks good. I mean, everything on the commercials, I'm telling you, juicy steaks and all this stuff, and it all looks good, and you're just going, dear God in heaven, please help me. That second day, you get a headache, and you're like, okay, somebody's going to get hurt if they get in my way. And your flesh, you can feel your flesh denying something. Now, come on. You can feel your flesh denying something. That third day, you still got a little bit of a headache, and you start trying to prepare. And you know what I think is awesome is that we have been preparing. Do you know? You know, I went on fast that not one church prepared and got them recipes out there and got things out there and start putting it out. Come on, somebody. Start putting it out on Facebook that we need certain things that could help us. What you don't want to do is focus so much on the food that you miss the move of God. Because we can get so consumed on what we're supposed to eat that we miss the move of what God wants, that whole purpose. What he's doing is we're denying ourselves. If you've never denied yourself, it screams. It hurts. My stomach is growling right now, Jeffrey. But you know what? That rice is good. Them carrots are good. Them strawberries are awesome. I'm just telling you. But you know what? He always fulfills, even in your denial. He'll fulfill something. And you know, Pastor Debbie, when you said this morning in prayer, I'm so delighted in that revelation that God gave me in Matthew about Jesus was led by the Spirit to the desert to fast. We're led by the Spirit. Some of you might think you're in a desert. Honest. But it causes you to deny yourself and take up your cross and what? And follow him. Deny yourself. Deny the things that are not supposed to be fed in your mind. Deny the things that are not supposed to be in your physical body. I'm telling you what. After that fourth day, fifth day, I feel good. Exercising, I feel good. I'm like, this is really, you know, I might just put a lifestyle in some of this. Don't shake your head, Dad. And you know what's funny is God's doing something personally in me differently than he's doing in Pop. Or God's doing something personally in me than differently than he is in Jen. But that's okay. We're all on a course. That's okay that he does certain things. Don't judge. Let him do what I loved Disciple Shape. I was a little nervous at first, you know, because, I mean, I can't get down on the floor yet. Because of some things that's been going on with my hands yet. But I'm not going to say that I can't. I just said I can't yet. But nobody was looking at anybody. Everybody was working out on their own pace. If I had to stop, I was. If I needed to walk around the church, I did. My daughter Mackenzie walked this whole thing 26 times. With the baby pushing in her stroller. And she said, Mom, I want to get fit. I want to get fit. I want to do this spiritually. I want to do this physically. I want to do this mentally. And you know what's funny is in your mental state, when you first start, and I'm not talking about just fast itself. I'm talking about starting a course. If you need Jesus Christ today, you'll start a course. And all the things that you used to do will start being denied. But he'll do. He's such a gentleman. And certain things that you won't want to have anymore. It's not about, oh my God, oh, I got to quit. I can't do that anymore. Oh my goodness, I can't eat that anymore. It's not about that. You're going to miss the whole thing of what this thing's all about. And when you get into where you're supposed to be, it's your mind starts feeling clearer. And your body starts feeling lighter. It's the strangest thing. All the toxins are leaving the body. So funny, because I've never talked like this before. But see, God wants to take the toxins spiritually out of us. God wants to take the toxins out of our minds. Not only as out of our physical body, but out of our minds and out of our hearts. Mm-hmm. Some of you have been truly struggling, whether it's making a decision of fasting or making a decision in life. When we make a decision in life, it changes the course. If you made a decision that you were going to go to college, that changes your course. If you made a decision that you were going to go to another job, that changes your course. If you made a decision, some people don't even know how to make a decision. No, really, some people do not know how to make a decision, and they rely on other people to make the decision for them. Come on, somebody. And so what happens is you enable them. Well, here, I'll make that decision for you. Yeah, you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to go there, and you're supposed... No, you hear from God. You do what you're supposed to do. You already know that tug in your heart. You already know what you're supposed to do. And if when you make that decision, then it changes your course. If you started making a decision to pray more, it would change your course. If you started making this decision of fasting, it has changed my course. It's even clearer in the Word. I feel like it's sharp. And I can understand things even more so. And I can feel us coming on this same page, that we're becoming together fit. But why do you think there's such a struggle? Part of it may be that we live in a society in which food, entertainment, or anything goes. It doesn't matter what people wear, what people say, how they act. We say, hey, we have rights to do whatever we want. But if we learn the art of fasting and prayer, it will come with our ear not to the ground of society. Hear me. If we do this with our ear to the ground of society, we're going to miss it. If we learn the lost art with our Bibles open and with our ear to God's Spirit, we'll come to another place in this course. We'll come to that transit in life. Listen, Matthew 6:16 says, when you fast, Matthew 6:16, when you fast, it didn't say if you fast, it says when you fast. And he doesn't say his followers might fast, but they will. In Matthew 9:15, the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken and they will all fast. It doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast. And it said the followers fasted. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll step into a place, and I'm not talking about, well, what's she trying to force me to step into this 21-day? Nope. You have your own course. This has just been declared from this pulpit, from the senior pastor of this house, that there is a corporate fast. It says, not if you will in Matthew, but when you will. And then it says the followers of Jesus Christ all fasted when the bridegroom was taken. I don't know about you, but see, that left when the bridegroom, when he left, Jesus Christ, and in the day of Pentecost, it brought the Spirit of God. They're hungry. You know what? I'm more hungry for God than I am for food. We have to be more hungry for God. It's funny because when my belly starts rumbling, and my kids know this, even when we were younger, and I would say, come on, we're going to go on a fast, and they were young. And every time my belly started rumbling and started growling, I'd say, nope, I'm hungry for God. I want to be more hungry for God. But see, I disciplined my mind to set in a course for God. Amen? Fasting is a stretching of our minds, our hearts, and our physical body. We're in transit. I looked that up, Bub. Transit means bringing something from one place to another. A movement, a flow, a transfer. It means a journey. We're going somewhere. And it's funny because Daniel was going somewhere. He didn't know where from this place when he first started fasting to all the way over here. He didn't realize what his transit was going to be. He didn't care. He just knew that he was before God, and it didn't matter what was going to happen. I believe we're in a rapid flow. I believe we're coming to a rapid movement. I believe that God's getting ready to do something rapidly transferring to us. Transit means flow, means movement, and it means transfer. Oh, that makes me want to shout. Because you know what? If there was an intense river and you step your foot in there, your feet are going to flip up out of from underneath you, and you're going to have to go with the river. Step your foot in there and see what happens. Step your foot in what God's getting ready to do in Remnant and see what happens. There's so much love in this room. No, there's so much love in this room. I can say that I love each and every one of you. And some that I just met today, I love you with the love of God. I mean that. But there's a flow. And when we're fitly joined together, what could happen? You think that right when we get done, we're doing the Easter egg hunt with thousands of people? It's not about the eggs. It's not about the gifts. I love you. You have no idea. And I'm telling you, you'll want to be a part of sowing into them gifts. The look on these children's faces that never get usually anything is worth a thousand words. It's worth all the labor that we do for that Easter egg hunt. We must choose to express our discontent and our discomfort with ourselves. Are you discontent? Are you discomfortable? Are you uncomfortable? Come on, all week, have you been uncomfortable? Some of you? We must choose to express our discontent, our discomfort with ourselves and long even more for Jesus Christ. Even if we're uncomfortable, even if we're discontent with all that we're doing, choose to press into Jesus Christ more than anything else. This spiritual, physical, and mental fit is to prepare our hearts and our bodies and our minds to what God is getting ready to do. At Remnant, this community, He's getting ready to prepare us for a great harvest. And I'm telling you, we better be fit. We better be physically fit. We better be spiritually fit. And we better be mentally fit. We better be ready to give an answer in season and out of season, because there's going to be people that are going to walk in this room that need Jesus Christ. And you better be ready. You better know what to give them in the Word. Why do you think that we're giving the Word as we're doing physical fit? We are giving the Word out. Get the Word out. You can't give no Word out unless you got the Word in. All you'll give is flesh. All you'll give is argument. All you'll give is the junk that's in your life. But if you'll deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him, then all you'll give is Jesus Christ. This is being prepared to be fit for a king. So if you walked into a palace and you knew you were going to meet the king, Esther was getting ready to prepare herself to meet the king. So they oiled her down and they perfumed her and they prepared her for 6 months. Maybe this is a preparation for 6 months. Maybe God's trying to prepare us to meet him. And you know what's funny is Esther and all these women that were getting all dressed in them beautiful dresses, you know? Alexis? I'm sorry. I'll get you. But you know what she said? She said, but I don't want to just wear a dress. What dress would he like? I just don't want to be fit. I want to be fit for him. So see, she denied herself. And see, what happened is when she prayed and she fasted, and then she said, you know what? Mordecai, I need you to call a fast. And so Mordecai, her uncle, that's standing at the gate, and he's been praying, and he's been fasting, and he's been saying, my goodness, our people are in slavery. What are we going to do? She goes into the king. She's not even supposed to be in there. You ever been to a place that you're not supposed to be at? But have you ever been to a place where you think you're not supposed to be, but you are? And you know what happens? Is even though she wasn't supposed to be in there because she was a Jew and she wasn't a pagan, God used that to turn all the things in that whole society, in that whole community. And when they started fasting and praying together, what happened? Every chain was broken. Haman was hung on his own gallows. And I heard God, when I was studying this, I heard the Spirit of God, and he said, there's going to be some things that are going to be hung on the gallows where it's been trying to kill you and trying to destroy your life. The thing that just sat at the table with her, the enemy that sat at the table with her, she's still set in her proper position. She's still set fit because she wasn't moved, Jen. She wasn't moved because she already knew who he was and who he is and who what he was going to do in the whole situation that was going on. Did it take a little bit? Did it prepare? Yeah. So I'm going to go back to Daniel. So there's his friends in the fire, and they got to step out of the fire, and the ones that put him into the fire burnt. When you get to a place to deny yourself and Jesus Christ is Lord, nothing formed against you will prosper. Every weapon formed against you will not prosper. Every lying tongue that rises up against you will fall. It won't come nigh your dwelling. You dwell in God. What? In this society? You mean I'm going to stand up to say? You don't have to stand up and say it. You can just walk it. So they were took out of the fire, and all of a sudden the king says, comes back and he says, of course, you know, somebody will always manipulate to try to get you off course. Somebody will always manipulate to try to get you off course. Or your own mind will manipulate you to try to get you off course. That's why every day you need to read the word daily. Read the word daily. Because if not, you're going to hear the words of everything else to try to get you off course. You need to stay on course. So the king and these men come up to the king and said, hey, I've heard that, you know, this Daniel's been praying. He prays 3 times a day. I can hear him through his window. I thought that nobody could worship or do anything else just to the king, that nobody else is supposed to worship anything else. But Daniel now, you can imagine. Isn't it funny how people point fingers at you? But Daniel, he's not worshiping you, king. He's worshiping another king. I could hear him through his window. So what's the king do? He said, there will be no one praying, no one worshiping, but to me. If they do, I'm going to throw them in the lion's den. Daniel was fit, Brandon. He didn't move. He knew what he heard from God, so he didn't move to the words that he heard from that king. He knew what he heard. See, if we listen to somebody else that could try to dictate something to make you hurt, it happened this morning. But if we know that we know that we know what the truth is, then you shouldn't be moved. So Daniel got on his knees after the declaration that he can't be, no prayer, no. Boy, somebody tell me that I can't pray. I'm telling you. Prayer is powerful. That's the connection to God. Not only connection to God, but praying for souls, praying for you, praying for this church, praying for this community, praying for our country. Daniel got on his knee. And even though that declaration had happened, and even though that declaration had happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow. Daniel went ahead and prayed anyway, and they could hear him praying. And they said, King, he's still praying after you brought that declaration. So they brought him before the king. I don't think it was the right king. Have you ever heard of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Have you ever heard of the words that he speaks to you? That you can stand on your course and not be moved? So Daniel walks up in front of the king, and the king said, we're throwing you in the lion's den. Can you imagine? He goes into the lion's den. And the next morning, the king gets up early. He's very disturbed. The king gets up early, and he goes up, and he runs there to that cave to see what was going on in that lion's den. And Daniel's laid back, all stretched out. Hello? And the lions are laying down. The lions had bowed because of his course and his purpose before the king. It causes things to bow that you can't. You can't bow it. You couldn't bow no lions. You ever had lions in your life? You ever had people roaring like this in your life? If you stay in the purposes of God, it has shut its mouth. And if you have to walk away from it, it's okay. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. You have to choose what this course is and why. Why are you on this course? The king was shook. He was shook about the boys that didn't get burnt. And then he shook about, he said, truly, this is the God. Almighty God. Where is it and when is it that somebody's going to come up and say, truly, you are serving the Almighty God? No, most of the time we just mingle with society and nobody knows we're different. We just mingle in it. We don't deny ourselves, so we just kind of mingle in it so nobody knows we're different. No, it says to separate yourself. See, this is called a separation. Whether it's in the physical body, whether it's in the mental, it all lines up together. How God designed us is spirit, soul, and body. It's all connected and works together according to his design. It's all connected together according to his design. Because we are designed by God, we live according to his principles. Our lives will be more full, experience more peace, more joy, more hope, more love. I don't know about you, but I like all them words. But see, what happens is our mental minds get changed. And so when you shift in your soul, see, you've been hurt in your soul. There's some of you that's been hurt in your soul. You've been hurt from past things, or you've been hurt from what somebody said, or you've been hurt, whether it's been, I'm just going to go here. And I've said it before, but see, I was hurt when I was 13, when I was molested. And I was raised in church, and I was raised to do the right things. I studied the Word of God when I was a little girl. And then at 13, I got raped. I hid it. Don't ever do that. Don't ever hide something in the dark. I'm talking, don't ever hide it. Bring it to the light. I'm telling you, it's worth it. If you keep it in the dark, it will taunt you. Darkness taunts you. It whispers in your ear. It will always say that you're never healed. It will always say that you, do you remember this? Do you remember this? Shut up. And no sooner than 3 years later, I lost my mom. So I was violated at 13, and then I felt rejected and abandoned at 16. I went the other way fast. I went into dark places that I had never knew before. That's all I knew was to be raised in church and do the things that were right. And I went the opposite way fast. For 10 years, I was off course. What's something is every once in a while I would hear somebody would come up or somebody would say something that would always tag my ear that I would remember of the Word of God or something that was spoke to me. That somebody prayed over me, and I remember that in my dark place. But God never left me nor forsake me. God never leaves you nor forsakes you. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've been through, he never does. When I was 26... is the day my brother walked through the door and banged on the door, and I was completely strung out on crack cocaine. But when I said Jesus that day, whew, I was in my front yard, and the first thing that came out of my mouth when I said Jesus was Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Everything that I remember when I was a little girl started flooding my soul. Because I literally, when I stepped in there, I denied myself. And I went and took up my cross to follow Jesus Christ. And everything that I could remember, everything that was in my heart, flooded my soul. Your soul's important. Your mental state is important. Because if this is not going to be fed to you, no, why do you think that we have remnant youth? Why do you think we have remnant kids? Why do you think that they're studying the Word of God? Why do you think that in the youth there's 50 kids, 40 kids that are studying the Word of God? Because in their mental state, if we don't feed them, the Word will feed them. A lot of them youth don't have parents that go to church. A lot of them youth, they're literally stepping up on this fast. Do you know how many children, it blow you away, that are literally stepping up on this fruit and vegetables and juice? I'm telling you. And I'm telling you what blesses me is some of these kids I have not seen complain. I've seen more adults complain than I have seen children. You know what's funny is God said that come like childlike faith. They just said, okay. I mean, if this is what we need to do, okay. And they just made up their mind. We always have indecisions all the time trying to make up our mind to something. And so what happens is you're not in your mental state, which mentally is your soul. So if you don't get your soul healed, and I'm going to tell you this. When I was 39, I'm going to tell my age, but that's okay. Remember, I was 13 when I was raped. I didn't allow God, I'm just telling you, I didn't want God to go to that place. I was so ashamed. I never told my mom. So then I felt like, because I didn't tell my mom and my mom passed away at 16, then I should have said something to her. Okay? So I kept it until I was 39 years old. I carried that dark place of my life. I carried it. I carried it like a trash bag on my goal that I thought was my course. And I carried it. Guess what happened when I carried it? It's like a magnet. My son can testify to this. All of a sudden, everybody that I knew that was rejected started coming around me. And everybody that, and I thought, well, I'm ministering to them, you know? I mean, they've been rejected and they've been abandoned and they've been, okay. But what was happening is I was taking on their baggage and I was carrying it like this. My course, I'm telling you, I felt like I was walking in mud. Because I cared so much for everybody else that I didn't care about myself anymore. Come on, somebody. And so what I did was I kept that hidden. I didn't take that before God, even though he already knew. But I didn't take that before God. And what happened was it became a magnet, and it started bringing all this trash in its life, in my life, of other people's lives. That don't mean that I don't care for somebody. That doesn't mean that I won't minister, but I minister from the overflow. I'm not ministering from that dark place of that bag that was sitting down here. No, you didn't hear that. Because, see, some of you need to be healed. I used to minister through the trash bag, bub. I used to minister through the rejection and abandonment. Come on, somebody. Now I minister through the word of God and the overflow of God because I'm healed to the uttermost. I'm healed. Now, if I minister to ones that have been abandoned or rejected, that's okay. But see, I minister now to whosoever will. I don't have to minister just to the one that I think because of my testimony. Because, see, sometimes that could be used to try to keep you in that place. Come on, somebody, please. To keep you in that place where you haven't been healed yourself. You're sitting there going, okay, you know, I understand you. I get you. I got that. But then you still have a dark place in your heart. When your soul's healed, it can heal your mind. And it's funny because the man that raped me when I was 13 years old, he come in front of me when I was working the covered bridge. Didn't know. I'm leaning down getting something, and when I lean up, he's standing there in front of me. What's so funny is it didn't shake me. It didn't bother me. And my heart started crying for his soul because of the things that he's tormented with. Now, if I wasn't healed, I'd probably be standing there in fear. But I don't have fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. If you have perfect love, it will cast out all fear. Amen? We are designed by God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "And above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Not only physically exercise, but spiritual exercise. Now I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy. This is so powerful. This word right here is power. When he put this, this is where we are. And I'm going to read this in the message. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. I'm going to say it again. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. I've underlined it twice. Take this to heart. I'll say it again. Take this to heart. Exercise daily. Get your spiritual flabbiness out of the way, please. Pastor Brandon, this is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God as the Savior of all men and women, especially believers. Get the word out. Get the word. Why do you think we're getting the word out? This is not about, okay, well, yeah, there's food, and yeah, we're switching it out, and you see what you can eat and what you can't eat, and that's all good. But God is literally going to fit us together for his purpose. He wants to heal spirit, soul, and body. I should be jumping by now, but that's all right. It says, exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gyms are useful. It's needed. But a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. Guess what? This body's leaving. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Like I told Papa, if I leave before you, I'm out of here. I tried to leave years ago, and God said I couldn't leave yet. When I flatlined, the Lord said I couldn't leave yet, that I had a purpose that I had to fulfill. It's good to be fit. It's good to be physically fit. But even more so to be spiritually fit is what the Word of God says. Because guess what? It's for today and forevermore. What you do in your spirit is for today and forevermore. Yeah, you could be fit. You could be in a casket. Man, you look good. But what happens in your spirit? Because when you pass, your spirit leaves. I don't know about you, but I want to get a crown, and I want to lay it at his feet. I've had people come up to me before and say, man, you got a crown. I said, all I want to do is lay it down at his feet. I don't care about the gyms. I care about getting to Jesus. Laying all that before him. Because, see, if we think our reward's here on earth, let me tell you something. If you're trying to do it for a reward, that reward is about this much in this earth compared to the reward in heaven. I don't want a reward here. If he wants me to clean toilets, I'm going to clean toilets. If he wants me to stand by with the kids, I'm going to go back there with the kids. If he wants me in here with the youth, I'm going to be in here with the youth. Whatever he wants to do, I want to do it. And I'll tell you what, just like Jen said, get off your butts. Nope. To be fit is to move. Have you ever seen anybody that's a little bit older and all of a sudden they're not feeling good and you keep saying, no, you got to get up. You got to get up. You got to move. Because if you don't move, then you're going to lay there and that gets worse and your mind gets worse and your soul gets worse and your spirit gets worse. You get in depression. Come on. To be fit, you have to move. You have to move in the Word. You got to move in your physical and you got to move in your mind. Some of you have let the society feed your mind. Just turn the TV on. Just turn on CNN. Or go watch these movies that you're not supposed to go. Or go listen to this stuff that you're not. I'm telling you, it'll feed whatever. Or other people feeding your mind. You could go sit at the table at lunch at school, and all of a sudden they're talking about doing these sexual things, and you're just sitting there, and it's just feeding your mind. It's just putting a seed in your mind. That's not what he wants. He wants you to be fit. Just like Daniel, he jumped in totally, and he was banking on the living God. You've jumped in totally. We have jumped in totally, and we're banking on the living God. He banked on the living God when he stood right here to pray. And no matter what trial he went through, even if he banked on the living God, he totally put himself into that. It's very important where we are. Fasting is a powerful spiritual discipline. It helps us to enter into an intense time and focus. Prayer and fasting. It brings insight and wisdom. It's time to let things go. It's time to let things go that you've been holding on to. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to read this again. 1 Timothy. Exercise daily in God. Let me go back up. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gyms are useful, but disciplined life in God is far more so. Making fit both today and forevermore. You can count on this. Take this to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this burnt venture. We're banking on the living God, our Savior. Get the word out. Teach all these things and don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life. Teach with your life. By word, by deed, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post. Reading daily, giving counsel and teaching, and the special gift of ministry that is given to you when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed. Keep this dusted off in use. Why don't you put that song on for me? Why do you think this, during this fast, we're sometimes bombarded with pressures and obstacles and trials? Your body is coming into alignment. Your mind is becoming fit. Your spirit is becoming strengthened. We're becoming fit for a purpose. We're becoming fit for the kingdom of God. Listen to what fit means. Fit is a suitable quality, a standard. Fit means a standard to meet the required purpose. Fit means good health and good condition. Fit also means to be put something into place. God is snapping us into place. You ever been adjusted and you feel like you need to be snapped back into place? It's suitable quality of a standard. It's a required purpose. We're in transit. We're going from one place to another. Even if all things changed in our lives, in our homes, in our refrigerator, even if this is going to change our spirit, this is going to change our soul, this is going to change our body, we will be fit together. Ephesians 4:16 says, Paul paints a powerful picture of the spiritual body. The body of Christ, when he writes, from him the whole body, fitly joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. He wants to fitly join us together. Amen? God laid this on my heart. And I need you to change that song. I'm sorry. And I really feel like that we need the pastors to come.